For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
Good evening. Tonight I'm continuing with the series I'm doing for some of my talks on the cases in the Book of Serenity koan collection. So just to say briefly about koans, just because there's so much misunderstanding. Koans are traditional teaching stories that we study because they have something to do with our own practice. It's in some Zen lineages, there's a curriculum in which people work with the teacher and go through the whole curriculum. In our tradition, the Soto Zen was founded in Japan by Dogen in the 1200s. We talk about these stories as ways of looking at our own practice. And it's not about, they're not riddles to solve. Although the one tonight is, might seem more perplexing. It's actually very humorous. Part of the deal, well, just to say briefly again about the structure of these, the Book of Serenity is the koan collection from Hongzhe, a century before Dogen in China, who picked the cases and wrote first commentaries later on, later in the 1200s, a Zaodong or Soto teacher in China, Wansong, wrote introductions and then commentaries on the case and the verse, very much patterned after the Blue Cliff Record, an earlier collection, used more in the Rinzai lineage, although both are used in both. And this case tonight happens to be in both the Book of Serenity and the Blue Cliff Record. I'll refer to the Blue Cliff Record version a little bit later on. One of the other things about these stories, not all of them, some of them go back to the Buddha's time, but a lot of them have to do with the great masters in the 800s, 700s, 800s, sometimes 900s. And some of the characters, historical persons, but they become characters in these stories. And so I want to introduce a cast of characters for the story tonight. So the teacher in the story is the great master Mazu, the horse ancestor, Mazu Daoyi. There will not be a test, but his dates are 709 to 788. He's famous for having 139 enlightened disciples, all of whom became teachers. It says in the commentary to the case that Mazu had the stride of an ox and the glare of a tiger. He could extend his tongue over his nose. Can anybody here do that? I haven't met anybody who can, but anyway, he was a big guy, and he was a very imposing and impressive. And the soles of his feet were circular marks, like the marks of the Buddha. Anyway, and 139 people succeeded him in the Dharma. But the story tonight is about Mazu and two, and later on in the commentary, another one of his famous disciples. So the first one is Zhizhang, Sitong Zhizhang. Again, don't worry about these names. Seido Guzo in Japanese. And then the second one is Baizhang Weihai, very famous teacher, 720 to 814. They both died in 814, Zhizhang and Baizhang Weihai. Anyway, Baizhang is famous for the first code of monastic conduct. He's also, for the three-day sitting we have coming up in a couple of weekends, he is the main character in that story about a wild fox, so, and about karma. So there are many, many stories about him. So Baizhang is a very famous master, like Mazu. But anyway, these are the three main characters in the story. And there's another character I'll introduce later. Okay, here's the case. So some of these stories are rather brief. This one is a little more involved. A monk asks Great Master Mazu, apart from the four propositions and beyond the 100 negations, please directly point out the meaning of the ancestors coming from the West. Cleary translates it in the Book of Serenity as living Buddhism, the meaning of living Buddhism. Literally, it's the meaning of Bodhidharma, or the ancestor coming from the West. But that's a way of saying the same thing. What is the meaning of the Buddha Dharma? So this is this question, this is a monk who is very knowledgeable about Buddhist teachings. He says, apart from the four propositions and beyond the 100 negations, please directly point out the meaning of living, of the ancestor coming from the West, of the Buddha Dharma. So the four, so he says, apart from the four propositions. This goes back to Nagarjuna, a great teacher of, who is the master of emptiness back in 200 or 300 in India. And the four propositions basically are that things exist, they don't exist, they both exist and don't exist, they neither exist nor not, don't exist. So this is a very famous in Buddhist philosophy, that there's these four possible things. Yes, no, both yes and no, neither yes and no, you can see it as. So this monk is asking what he thinks is a tricky question, maybe, apart from these four propositions and beyond the 100 negations. And Nagarjuna also taught, you know, we just chanted the Heart Sutra, which says no eyes, no ears, no nose, no tongue, and so forth, many negations. There are 100, maybe there are hundreds of them in Nagarjuna's teaching, including that there's no emptiness, no nothingness. But anyway, so this is a sort of philosophical question, in a way, that this monk is asking Great Master Mazu. Apart from the four propositions, beyond the 100 negations, please directly point out the meaning of the ancestor coming from the West. And Master Mazu said, I'm tired out today and can't explain for you. Go ask Jizong. So this monk, who was a diligent monk, he went and asked Jizong the same question. And Jizong said, why don't you ask the teacher? The monk said, the teacher told me to come ask you. Zhizhang said, I have a headache today and can't explain it for you. Go ask Brother Hai. Hai. I've done this sometimes. I've said, oh, go ask Yoshin. Or ask Douglas or Asian or somebody. Anyway, so the monk went to ask Wai Hai, who was still a student then, became a famous teacher. And he asked the question to Bajrang Waihai, and Hai said, when I come this far, after all, I don't understand. The monk related this to, went back to Great Master Mazu and told him this, and Mazu said, Zong's head is white, Hai's head is black. So that's the whole story. It's a little more involved than some stories, and I find it very amusing. Like that. I have a headache today and can't explain for you. Go ask this other guy. So do you get it? it's kind of pretty straightforward in a way. The structure of these cases is the same. Okay, I'll read the verse first. This is the verse commentary by Xiantong Hongzhe. And I'm not going to refer to it so much, but Hongzhe said, medicine working as illness, it is mirrored in the past sages. Illness working as medicine, sure, but who is it? White head, black head, capable heirs of the house. statement or no statement, the ability to cut off the flow. Clearly sitting, cutting off the road of speech, laughable as the old ancient all at Vaishali. So that old ancient all like a punch, in leather punch, refers to Vimalakirti, who we talked about in our practice period, the great master, great enlightened layman, who is famous, amongst other things, for his silence when he was asked by Manjushri, how do you go beyond duality? And Vimalakirti gave this thunderous silence. In some ways, and this is part of this, he says that that's laughable, because really all three of these teachers, Mazu and Zhejiang and Baizhang Weihai, went beyond this silence. So the introduction says, where you can't open your mouth, a tongueless person can speak. Where you lift your feet without rising, a legless person can walk. If you fall within their range and die at the phrase, how can you have any freedom? When the four mountains all oppress you, how can you penetrate to freedom? So this is a typical kind of koan-style challenge, you know. How are you going to penetrate to the freedom, seeing this case, seeing this story? So again, it's very, to me, it's very funny and pretty straightforward. But there's some interesting commentary here. And in the commentary, you know, this is Wansong, who is a great teacher too, says, when we look at this monk, he too is a student of the Buddha way. He uses the four propositions in 100 negations to make sure of the source essence of the special transmission outside the teachings. So Wansong takes the view that this monk is challenging these teachers and giving these teachers a chance to clearly express the essence of reality. Later on, Huangpo, who was a student of, later on in this lineage, a student of Baizhang's student, Linji, Huangpo said, if you want to understand directly and immediately, everything is not it. But then Wansong says, if you understand clearly and thoroughly, nothing is not it. So again, he's playing with this, with these propositions. With it is both it, both yes and no is it. Neither yes and no is it. Looking at it the other way around, without abandoning the four propositions of the 100 negations, where is the meaning of the living Buddha way not clear? Then Wansong quotes great master Nagarjuna, who started these fourfold propositions, who said, wisdom is like a mass of fire. It cannot be entered from any side. Yet he also said, wisdom is like a clear, cool pool. It can be entered everywhere from any side. So this wisdom is like a mass of fire. I had not realized or forgotten that in the song of the Jewel Mara Samadhi, that we sometimes chant from Dongshan, he says it's like a mass of fire, just to depict it in literary. No, turning away and touching are both wrong. So this mass of fire comes from Nagarjuna. Dongshan borrowed it there. Part of the point is all of these guys are giving very clear expressions. You know, this has happened to me. I have had some students who, some of them very persistently come to me and they want an explanation of what is the essential meaning. In China they said, why did the ancestor come from the West? That's kind of a slang for that. And these guys all meant it very clear. Mazu said, I'm tired out today and can't explain for you. Go ask Zhejiang. Zhang said, why didn't you ask the teacher? And the monk said, the teacher told me to come to you and ask you. Zhang said, I have a headache today and can't explain for you. Go ask Brother Wai Hai. He could have said, I don't have a headache today, but I still can't explain for you. Go ask Brother Wai Hai. Wai Hai said, when I come this far, after all, I don't understand. So, I'm not going to explain this for you, but there's another story that involves these same characters. Actually, not Mazu, Mazu and also Zhitong and Baizhang Waihai, but also Nanchuan, another one of his great students. Nanchuan was the teacher, Nanchuan or Nansen in Japanese, you may know him. Has the many, many stories about him too. And he had a student who named Zhaozhou or Zhoushu, who is one of the great masters of all time. And there's many stories about them. Anyway, but in this story, Baizhang Waihai and Nanchuan are still students, along with Zhitong, Zhizhang. These names in Chinese are tongue twisters sometimes. But in this story, they were all out gazing at the moon. Four of them. This is something that people in East Asia do. When it says gazing at the moon, probably it means the full moon, but it could have been. Maybe it was a half moon or something. But when it's full moon time, does anybody know when the last full moon was? Any moon gazers here? When? Okay. So recently, yeah. I saw that moon. Anyway, people in East Asia go out and go out and hang out and look at the moon. They didn't have television, you know. But the full moon is almost good enough, you know. Anyway, they were out there gazing at the moon. And Mazu asked the three of them, what should one do at this very moment, at a time like this, when the moon is full? I'm sure it was a full moon. What should one do? And Baizhang said, just right to cultivate practice. And remember, he's the one who founded the rules for conduct for monastics. Although in the story we're going to look at during the three-day sitting, he did something really heretical. Anyway, Zhitong said, just right to make offerings. Oh, that's nice. The moon is full. Let's go make offerings. I like that. But Nanchuan just brushed out his sleeves and left. Kind of common Zen pantomime. And Mazu said about this, the scriptures, the sutras, go into Zong, the treasury. So Zhizong's name means treasury. So he says the sutra. He's gained all the sutras. Meditation goes into Baizhang Waihai, the ocean. Hai means ocean. Nanchuan alone transcends utterly beyond things. Wansung says about this, even here, black and white should be clearly distinguished. So, these stories get commented on. Zen is supposed to be this teaching beyond words and letters, pointing directly to the mind. And I would say these three guys in the main story all pointed directly to the mind. But in Zen we have these koan collections with comments on these stories, and then we have comments on those and comments on the comments. So we have huge libraries of Zen babble. I'm going to cite a little bit from Dogen. So first of all, in In Dogen's koan collection in volume 9 of his extensive record, he cites this case. He has a verse comment. The last two lines say, "If not comrades from a site for selecting Buddhas, who would see that both Bajang Weihai and Zhizhang directly pointed it out?" This is an interesting term. The site for selecting Buddhas. That's a nickname for a monk's hole, for a zendo. The site for selecting Buddhas. This is where Buddhas arise. So Dogen said about the story, if they were not fellows from a site for teaching, for selecting Buddhas, who would see that both Bajang Weihai and Zhizhang directly pointed it out? So again, Zhizhang said, "I have a headache today and can't explain for you." Weihai said, "When I come this far, after all, I don't understand." Dogen also has a comment on that story about gazing at the moon. So this is from one of his Dharma Hall discourses in his extensive record. He says about these three people gazing at the moon, so Bajang Weihai, Zhizhang, and Nanchuan, he says, "All three of them together equal one full moon." So he doesn't, you know, take sides. Not that Mazu did either, really. So, that's the story. That's the case. I'll say a little bit more about it. There's, again, this verse comment by Hongzhe. "Medicine working is illness. It is mirrored in the past sages." So we're telling the story about a number of past sages. "Illness working as medicine. Sure, but who is it?" So the relationship between medicine and illness I talked about also in case 4 about the blade of grass and the story about how Sudana could not find any plant in the world that was not also medicine. But of course, too much medicine causes illness. "Whitehead, blackhead," Hongzhe says, "capable heirs of the house, statement or no statement, the ability to cut off the flow." How do we cut through the flow of our usual self-descriptions and self-business and ideas about ourselves and the world? Clearly sitting, cutting off the road of speech, laughable as the old ancient all at Vaishali, Vimalakirti, who used silence. Part of how these koans work is that they present language that cuts through language, cuts through the dualities of language. About that, and I'll just read a little bit about of Wansung's comment on the verse. He says, "When I was a scribe at Da Ming in the old days, Master Hung of Tanshi passed through Da Ming." So this is Wansung's telling a personal story. "I knocked on the door of this master in the dark of night, calling his attendant, burned incense, and formed a relationship." So he went to see this teacher, and the teacher allowed me to see him, Tanshi. "I asked him to tell me more about what is the living word and what is the dead word. He said, 'If you understand the dead word, it is the living word. If you don't understand the living word, then it is the dead word.'" So how is it that when Zhizhang said, "I have a headache today and can't explain for you, go ask Weihai," how was that a living word? Or was it a dead word? The great Bajang Weihai says, "When I come this far, after all, I don't understand." So this is kind of funny. I'll just close with what I have to say about all this, with the introduction to the case So it's case six in the Book of Serenity. In the same exact story is case 73 in the Blue Cliff Record. And the introduction, the pointer to that says, in explaining the Dharma, there is neither explanation nor teaching. In listening to the Dharma, there is neither hearing nor attainment. Since explanation neither explains nor reaches, how can it compare to not explaining? Since listening neither hears nor attains, how can it compare to not listening? Still, no explaining and no listening still amount to something. As for all of you right here, listening to me explain here, how will you avoid this mistake? For those with the eye to pass through the barrier, as a test, I cite this old case, and then he tells the story. So there's a lot going on in this story, and maybe there's nothing going on in this story, but this is a story about a monk coming asking for the basic meaning. What is the meaning of Bodhidharma coming from the West? Bodhidharma, the Indian master who came to China and is considered the founder of Chan. What's the essential meaning? I have a headache today. I can't explain for you. When I get this far, after all, I don't understand anything. And then there's Vimalakirti, who just was silent. So, living words, dead words, comments, questions, responses, utterances, silences, please feel free. Jan, you were laughing a lot, so I think you got it.
I thought it was kind of funny when he said, I come out of the way, but I don't understand. And I was trying to decide whether he couldn't understand why he come out of the way, or whether he come out of the way and still couldn't understand the answer to his question. And I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, that's good.
That double idea there. He was saying,
yes.
And I thought that was kind of a wonderful way of explaining why discussions of art are so unsatisfactory.
Thank you. Yes, very good. So, poetry and koans are different, but also they work in a somewhat related way. Other questions or comments, or does anybody want to explain this? Okay, Sue.
So, this is such a fun story.
It really is.
I shared the class today, And the first thing I wrote on top of my paper here is Genjo poem.
Okay.
And I was really moved by this in that, well, first of all, what I love is this is very relational.
Yeah, that's right. That's good. These people are, getting into each other's hair.
And there's an invitation for that relationship. And the relationship itself is the teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Somebody saying, I have a headache is beyond this Nagarjuna talk of it exists, doesn't exist, what exists, and exists, and what exists, and doesn't exist. You know,
yeah.
So there's this, and I love this student. I want these monks to be named. What if it was like a female?
Could
it
be.
Or something else, So I'm like,
it might have been a fox.
could be a fox, because the fox is referenced at the end of this, right?
Yeah, well, there's
all these fox stories.
There's another. Yeah, that's right, and there's another, and there's a big fox story coming from the three-day sitting.
I've heard tell of that. So I just, you know, lately I've been reading these commentaries on Gendra Koan Ishiro Gokusan's commentaries, and you know, one of the things he says is every single thing is actualizing the fundamental point of practice.
Right.
So like everywhere this monk is going, it, you know, and I think kind of, I suspect that he feels that.
Yeah, it's feels in from one reading one might think they're putting down the monk, but it's not. You know, the thing that you mentioned, he's not named in these stories. When it's a monk asks so and so such and such a great master, if the monk is only named if they later became a great master themselves.
Right.
So, you know, the other thing though is that I think about this anonymous monk traveling around asking questions of all the great teachers in China.
Who is a great master?
Yeah.
But not named.
Yeah, the tomb of the unknown Zen student.
Yeah. Who, like, bested them all.
But then, you know, the other side of this is that I have had students. Sometimes they'll just do it once. Sometimes they come back again and again and again asking me for explanations. Please explain this. It's pretty funny.
But these people all, what I like, they all had something to say to the student. They actually were taking the student very seriously.
Yeah, he revealed his headache.
Right.
Dylan?
Yeah, on this reading of this story, I'm falling even more in love with Wazu's Zenism, the first teacher.
Mazu. Ma means horse, so, and Zu means ancestor, or Baso in Japanese, so the horse ancestor.
Horse ancestor. I love his response because, this super intense question of, like, you know, besides this, you know, very specific teaching and this very specific teaching, I want you to tell me right now what the meaning of everything is. Just show it to me. What is it like? Like, you know, the most intense question you can get. And his response is, like, I think pretty accurate of, like, okay, well, reality as it is this moment is that I have a headache. You know?
Right.
You want the grand answer to everything, like, what's going on right now? The grand answer is, I have a headache.
And also, I can't explain for
you. And that's the other part of it, too. There's each part of it is a great teaching because initially, like, you could think that I have, like, he can't explain it because he has the headache. Like, oh, I would be able to. But
I have a headache today. I can't explain it to you.
But maybe not necessarily they're connected. Maybe it's the supreme reality of what's happening right now is I have a headache.
Yes,
and
good.
Also, I can't tell you what reality is. Like, it's your life, you know? Like, you, no one's going to be able to tell you what the meaning of your life is.
Like the poem that you can't get, you know, explain the poem.
Exactly. And then, but he's not like leaving, abandoning him. He's saying, but you should go ask this other teacher, too. So it's a great teaching because it's saying, like, this is exactly what's happening with me right now. But I can't tell you how, like, what your life is about. But here's the direction you could go, you know, just to keep walking the walk. And
yeah.
I think it's a great response.
Other, anybody else? Yes, Kirshen.
So I don't disagree with anything that anybody out there has been saying, but
of course.
I'm trying to explain to them how to put their thumbs slightly together and how to bow when they come into the room. And so I struggle with skillful means to invite them to ask that question, but not to expect a three-sentence complete answer before they get to the bottom. So, I mean, it's an important thing for us to grapple with. I mean, you're saying students come and repeatedly ask you that. I mean, I feel like I'm very pleased to have this question. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't even know what I say to people. I say something different every time, something in the direction of, yes, we need to ask that question, don't we?
We're good.
You know, but it is definitely part of the reality of talking to each other.
Well, that's okay. And then the thing about living words and dead words.
Yeah.
What are living words keep something alive? Dead words shut it down and it's over.
And I think your response is right in line with these people. That's a good question.
Go down to ask them. It's Jerry. That's Jan.
Yeah, the asking the question is a good thing, but don't expect some definition.
You hear them ask a question like, if I don't get the right answer, I'm not coming back here. Or something, you know.
Bye bye.
But I think that wish to get the right answer is also very tender.
Yes.
Like I think to think, don't ask that. That's not the right way of Zen. To hold on to something is shaming and isn't like, keep asking. You might get a headache.
And then you'll put a headache and be like, lots of.
Where I got that headache from, asked it so many times.
Good. Anybody else? Any other? Yes, Ed.
One brief story. About a year or 2 years ago, there was a Tibetan monk that visited us at school, and it was considered a very, very big deal. There were flyers up on the course of campus and everything. And the dean of the divinity school introduced him to that monk. He was sponsored and flew in from some of the locations in Tibet. He could not speak English. He gave his presentation in Chinese to a translator. In all of the divinity schools, full. It was, very much anticipated. And terribly enough, I can't recall the monk's name because it was involved and the name itself. And the entire talk that this esteemed man gave had to do with his experience of flying with his pet dog on his long flight. And if it was over, I think everyone was just sort of a little disoriented.
That's a great story, yeah.
And flowers set up, I mean, orange flowers everywhere. It was incredible. So the story, I recall that experience.
Yeah, all these koans are shaggy dog stories, yes. So, well, very good. So this is not to say that we finished with this story. Because part of the point is that we never finish with any of these stories. There's more to see in these antics. This is why they've been studied for 1,000 years. But we got into it some tonight. So thank you all very much. We'll close with the 4 Bodhisattva vows.